now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. Photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, I will talk about a variety of subjects, starting with what we've all seen in the recent past, the bullfrog's chorus of hate meted out to Donald Trump by Hollywood and the rest of the so-called entertainment system, entertainment. And we must ask ourselves, have we seen this before? How long has this process been going on? What we're seeing now is just the outward manifestations of this top-down control, Hollywood, the mafia, tribalist collectivist, Rothschild Zionist control system is exerted on Hollywood and the entertainment industry for so long. You know, it's easy these days for people to hate on Miley Cyrus. Oh, I hate her. She's such a skank. Now, cut the kid some slack. She's a monarch girl. She's been tormented from day one. She doesn't even know which way is up, the poor kid. Then we look at someone like Kanye West. Kanye West deviated from his planned set list at a recent concert. Kind of went off on a rant that almost smacked of being an anti-New World Order rant. And he even made comments supportive of Donald Trump, it seems. Well, the crowd started booing. His roadies slash handlers ran out onto the stage and hauled him off. And then the next time we hear of Kanye West, one of his agents or his producer, Malik Youssef, mentions at the Grammy Awards that, well, Kanye West had a mental breakdown. And he began talking a little bit more about Kanye's condition, and he dropped some interesting nuggets. He said his memory is coming back, which is super good, quote unquote, from Malik Youssef, the producer and friend of Kanye West. Now, let's analyze this comment for a moment, and I'm not making light of it because it's very tragic, okay? When we see Miley Cyrus acting out on stage, she's in sex kitten mode. There's nothing funny about that. It should not be the object of derision or venomous comment. Again, it's a manifestation of this MKUltra monarch manipulation exerted on Hollywood and the entertainment industry personnel. So Kanye West's memory is coming back, which is super good. He continued by saying, Kanye is healing and spending time with family, but he's not working on any new projects. Well, what probably happened was Kanye started to break programming, and they hauled him off the stage. He went incommunicado, i.e. he wasn't seen for a while, and he was probably being re-mind-controlled, reprogrammed, etc., etc. Even the recent pictures we've seen of Kanye West, he's got this kind of vacant, haunted look about him. We've seen so many Hollywood stars and entertainment industry stars and starlets fed a cocktail of pharmaceuticals. I mean, you think of Whitney Houston, of course. Heath Ledger, another one. Poor guy. In his last dying hours, around the time of his death, those creepy Olsen sisters who figured in this video about pizzas, it was some kind of a anthem to pedophilia. Some of you have seen the video in the Pizzagate scandal where the young, very young Olsen twins were singing about pizzas, right? With all these kind of double entendre lyrics and these sexually suggestive lyrics, pedophilia type lyrics. Well, fast forward to Heath Ledger's time of death. Apparently, those Olsen sisters were around Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was another person who had taken too many pharmaceuticals, and it would have been very easy just to add some other ingredient to tip the scale, so to speak, push him over the edge where his body just couldn't take any more. How about the king, Elvis Presley? John Lennon famously said, when asked about the death of Elvis Presley, John Lennon said Elvis died when he went into the army. And Elvis went into the army in the 1950s. That was alleged to be some kind of publicity stunt on the part of his manager, Colonel Tom Parker. But really, it was an overt example of plugging Elvis into the system where they can get a hold of him, work on him, mind control him. So we've seen all of this before. We're seeing the programming of people breaking down. The Kanye West episode is just a recent example. We've seen Britney Spears in that famous or infamous interview with Barbara Wawa, Barbara Walters. And those of you old enough to remember the original non-vulgar Saturday Night Live with the original Not Ready for Primetime Players cast knows the Barbara Wawa reference. She was played by Gilda Radner in those skits. But anyway, when Britney Spears was being interviewed by Barbara Walters, for whatever reason, they did not edit out her meltdown, her emotional meltdown. They didn't edit out her Spears switching from one personality to another. This really is a tragedy, folks. And so people with an earshot, whoever listens to this, let's take it easy on the Miley Cyruses of the world and the Britney Spears of the world. It just, thank heavens, thank goodness that you're not them. And some of you, I know, have gone through your own MK Monarch SRA challenges, and you may or may not be feeling too sympathetic to the likes of these Hollywood types who make all this money and have all this fame and riches, but that's all just temporal. The real riches, the real abundance comes from within, and it comes from our connection to Source, and through Source, our connection to the higher spiritual realms. That's where our biggest fan base is. Always remember that. We must remember where all this started. Hollywood has been a control system for a long time. Think about Ronald Reagan, another classic example of someone groomed by the system to be basically a poster boy. Ronald Reagan was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. He was also under the control of MCA, the Musical Corporation of America. And MCA was founded by Jules Stein, a Jew who lived in Chicago and who had close ties with the mafia. Remember, the spin that's been put out has always been that it's the Cosa Nostra, that it's run by the Sicilians / the Italians. No, actually, it's the Kosher Nostra, run by the likes of Arthur Rothstein from Chicago, who mentored a young psychopath named Meyer Lansky. Okay, that's who really controlled the mob from the beginning. Check that. MCA stood for Music Corporation of America. Now, you have to understand the control that Music Corporation of America, MCA, had over its stable, literally its stable of singers, entertainers. First, Jules Stein founded MCA, and then later it was taken over by Lou Wasserman, a Hollywood mogul. Lou Wasserman became, for all intents and purposes, an agent handler of Ronald Reagan. Eventually, MCA was bought out by the Bronfman family, the Illuminati family that owns the distilled spirits conglomerate in Canada. David Icke talks about the Bronfmans a lot. And Ronald Reagan, in his dual role as president of the Screen Actors Guild, as well as flunky for Jules Stein / Lou Wasserman, the Kosher Nostra and the Italian Sicilian mob, because they were kind of basically a subservient proxy to the Kosher Nostra. Ronald Reagan was utilized as a red baiter. See, that's another one of the misunderstandings about the whole Joe McCarthy thing. Joe McCarthy was this crazed politician from Wisconsin who was going after all these communists, but in the process creating turmoil. McCarthy was the best thing that ever happened to the communists, because what McCarthy was doing, guided by his handler, Roy Cohn — I mentioned Roy Cohn before, Roy Cohn was a mentor to a young Donald Trump. Tip there. Joe McCarthy was utilized to get rid of everybody in government who was anti-Israel, anti-Rothschild Zionist, in the guise of going after them because they were communist. What an underhanded trick that was. So what we're talking about is just utilizing certain assets in the field to make all these accusations and having a compliant corporate media make those accusations stick. Okay, rewind back to Ronald Reagan. What Ronald Reagan was used for in the Screen Actors Guild was all those Hollywood stars and starlets who didn't want to play ball. You think of Lucille Ball, you think of all these people. They were labeled as communist by Ronald Reagan and his ilk. And they were blacklisted, they were blackballed, out of Hollywood. Many of them never got back into the Hollywood game. Many of them had to retire. Many of them had to try to make their own way, making independent films, whatever the case may be. So Ronald Reagan was used in the same way that Joe McCarthy was used. You know, there was actually a movie Ronald Reagan made where he talked about wanting to be president of the USA. And then whammo, Bonzo, Reagan winds up being president. Bonzo, of course, was the monkey, the chimpanzee that was a co-star for some of Ronald Reagan's B-movies. MCA. Now, understand, folks, that MCA was mob-controlled. It was Hollywood Illuminati-controlled. Lou Wasserman, Jules Stein, Chicago Outfit, i.e. the Mafia, the Kosher Nostra, Arthur Rothstein, later Meyer Lansky. So a lot of these singers, entertainers on the club circuit in America, they could only play at an MCA-owned nightclub. They can only play at an MCA-owned theater. If they tried to play somewhere else, someplace that was not owned by the MCA, they'll be lucky if they got away with just a couple of broken legs, right? So keep that in mind. Even back then, the control that was exerted on Hollywood and on the musical entertainment industry, entrainment, of course, it's a play on the whole mind control thing. Now, what we have is a multicultural mix of different stars of different ethnicities. And through the Prince Albert Lodge, the Black Freemasonic Lodge, we now have this top-down control exerted by the same force, exerted by Hollywood, exerted by this dark occultic control system. I really recommend some of you watch the videos put out by this guy named The Black Child, the brilliant videos. The Black Child has put out a stream of very illuminating, quote-unquote, pardon the bad pun, videos about how these black stars, particularly these black rappers, are plugged into this Luciferian Hollywood system. He talks about how if they want to get to a certain level, let's say stardom, i.e. the promised land, right? Well, what happens is, according to the Black Child, I have no reason to doubt him, right? He seems to have very well-connected inside sources. He says that, and you have to watch his video to really get all the detail, but at some point, these rising young black stars, black rappers, and I'm sure the same thing is done for Caucasian, Latino, would-be stars, whatever the case may be, well, these young black stars and young black rappers are pegged, identified, profiled, and then, one fine day, they're invited to a type of eyes wide shut party where apparently well-endowed adult film stars, rather gay adult film stars, are present. Everyone wears a mask, including these Hollywood moguls, these record company executives, and the like. Well, a proposition is made, basically. Take it or leave it kind of deal. They either allow themselves to be filmed indulging in all these sex acts with these masked gay porn stars and these masked Hollywood and film industry moguls, or their career goes into a nosedive, their career tanks, and that's the last we hear of these people. And I'm sure some people say, thanks, but no thanks, this is where I get off the bus. Leave with their integrity intact. Others, they say, okay, they're going to bite the bullet, and they're going to go for it. And they wind up getting turned out, quote unquote, right? It's like an initiation kind of thing, where these young black stars, rappers, what have you, essentially get sexually violated in every which way, and the whole thing is filmed for posterity for blackmail purposes. And the Black Child goes on to say that anyone of any significance in the black entertainment industry, the black film industry, etc., etc., they've gone through this process. And those that don't, they either get blackballed and kicked out, or they get messed with, harassed, assaulted, etc., etc. I remember David Chappelle talking about what happened to his friend Martin Gilbert, who Martin Gilbert felt that he was being gang-stalked, attacked, followed around. Likewise, David Chappelle said that, hey, you know, if I want to up and leave and go to Africa, that's my business. And the way the media spun it out was that he'd gone crazy, etc., etc. Well, David Chappelle, you know, had a good reason, probably, to get out. David Chappelle was even talking about on Inside the Actor's Studio about how again and again the Hollywood producers would come to him, okay, in this scene, David, all you got to do is wear this pink tutu and the scene's only going to last a few minutes. It's going to be a great laugh. Ha, ha, ha. But Dave Chappelle had integrity, said, thanks, but no thanks. This is where I get off the bus. And he said that. If you go watch the whole segment with David Chappelle, he'll talk about how they kept coming to him during the filming of a particular movie and said, you've got to do this scene where you wear a pink tutu and you act in, you know, this kind of effeminate manner. We see in the new, well, not new, but it's been going on for some time, let's just say the latest edition of Saturday Night Live, how vulgarity, reducing the human condition to its lowest common denominator, is the norm for Saturday Night Live. And I mentioned this before, it's a rite of passage for many of these male, particularly Caucasian, leading male actors, i.e. Ben Affleck, the guy who played House, M.D., English guy. Numerous others, too many to name. David Duchovny of X-Files fame. And they're all compelled to take part in a skit or two in Saturday Night Live, let's just call it SNL, where they're compelled to act out as a effeminate, histrionic, flamboyant, gay person. It's like a rite of passage. If someone reaches a certain level, a male, in Hollywood, besides what goes on behind the scenes, which the black child talks about, well, out in public view, they make them go through this rite of passage in SNL where they have to act in a flaming, effeminate fashion. And we see this again and again. And so David Chappelle talks about that. And what's happened to David Chappelle's career? He had a fantastic show. He put out a lot of meaningful information in his skits, talking about the, you know, WMDs in Iraq and all this other stuff. He was very socially conscious, David Chappelle was, but, you know, after he split to Africa, probably to get away from the harassment, which Randy Quaid talks about, go on to YouTube and look up Randy Quaid, the brother of Dennis Quaid, and Randy Quaid will talk about the gang stalking, the harassment, the attempts on his life. In all likelihood, he didn't want to play ball. He didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. He didn't want to allow himself to be put in these compromising positions. And so they made his life a living hell. That's the way the game is played. Now, remember, this goes back at least as far, if not actually before the MCA days. MCA eventually got into Hollywood film production, eventually got into television because television was the new big thing. And the MCA-controlled clubs were all over America. Eventually, they wound up in Cuba, too, because of the mob control of Cuba. And so, whether it's from Florida, whether it's from California, the Midwest, didn't matter. When these entertainers, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, think of the old Rat Pack guys, people like them in that era, they can only go to MCA-controlled clubs, nightclubs, theaters. Otherwise, they did not perform. It was in their contract. That was the way it was. They had utter control over these people. Utter control. So let's get back to Kanye West. Kanye West, his programming begins to break down. Watch the videos about him. He starts saying on stage that Jay-Z is trying to kill him. He actually and famously meets with Donald Trump, really breaking programming. In that onstage so-called rant, Kanye West talks about he's all about the truth. I'm paraphrasing him. He's here to talk about the truth. The very last thing his handlers and controllers want to hear from him. That was an aborted concert. It only lasted four songs, and then I guess his conscience and his front altar personality, and persona that was still connected to Source said, F this, I'm going to speak my truth. And again, we've seen this before. Michael Jackson starts talking about transnational corporate control, starts talking about the New World Order, starts talking about all kinds of things. And it's so easy to launder, if you will, these Hollywood entertainment types' deaths, launder them through the excuse of pharmaceutical overdose. Oh, yes, because of the stress-filled life that these guys and these gals lead. They start getting on these antidepressants and mood-altering pharmaceuticals, etc., etc., and then one fine day, they just cark it because their body just can't take it anymore. Think of Elvis Presley and the cocktail of drugs he was on. Just a variety of drugs, bewildering variety of drugs. So, Kanye West, he's talking about Jay-Z Knight wanting to kill him. He's talking about how he's about the truth. He's meeting with Donald Trump. And no wonder that he does this disappearing act and he goes away to be reprogrammed. Now, I've spoken to people who are part of these mind control projects, and they tell me that every once in a while, And these are people that know these are people that are born into these high level Draco reptilian bloodline families. And they tell me that every once in a while they have to go to either a corporate front looking building or a corporate front looking building that has an underground entrance, and they wind up in a secure facility where they're reprogrammed. Then you get into the almost sacrificial nature of the deaths of some of these entertainers and music entertainers, movie stars, and the like, because of the nature of the environment they're in. Think of James Dean famously dying in a car wreck. Think of Jane Mansfield, who was a member of the Church of Satan. She had an untimely death. Think of the connection. There's many books been written about the mind control, MK, CIA aspect, SRA aspect to Hollywood. There's a lot of books, a lot of research been done about this aspect. So is it any surprise that when the Hollywood masters say to their stars and starlets and their entertainers, okay, you will now conduct a bullfrog chorus of hating Donald Trump. It's as simple as folding a napkin, folks. All these Hollywood moguls have to say is, working through all their agents and all their handlers at the lower ranks who personally handle these stars and starlets, you will all start hating Donald Trump. Well, there's nothing to do for these stars but to start hating Donald Trump. What you're seeing is mind control. What you're seeing is the power exerted by the system upon these people who have been held up as icons by the system. Oh, these people have so much power. They have so much authority. They have such a lovely, wonderful lifestyle. They're icons. I want to live like them. Not really. If you really know what's going on with them, the amount of mind control exerted on them, the amount of abuse that's exerted upon them. And I'm not absolving those who jump without a parachute to get in on all the abuse and the mind control, because there are a number of stars, starlets, actors, actresses, musical entertainers who are 100% on board with this Luciferian agenda. Indeed, many of them were literally born and bred for the role they are now playing. They fit a certain reptilian Draco hybrid bloodline, DNA profile, spiritual profile. White, black, Latino, doesn't matter. They're groomed, their bloodlines have been monitored, adjusted along the way, and then one fine day, this guy or this gal is born straight into this Hollywood Luciferian system. If they're a child actor or a child actress, 5 will get you 10, they will be abused horrifically. Check out the testimony of Corey Feldman, a brave young man. Elijah Wood spoke out for a while until pressure was exerted, and then he retracted. Think about what Axl Rose, the singer for Guns N' Roses, has said, even on stage, about his victimization as a young boy. So it's a Luciferian system, this Hollywood gig is. And I would want anyone to think twice about getting involved in Hollywood, getting involved in the entertainment industry. Those of you that have bright, precocious young children, very photogenic, very cute, likely to grow up to be a handsome young man or a beautiful young woman. And if you live in the Hollywood area, Beverly Hills, LA, Southern California, New York City, places like that, Chicago, and then one fine day someone rocks up and says, wow, you should have your kid take acting lessons. He or she is so smart. I bet you they would be a natural. I bet you they would have a fine career in Hollywood. First, they'll be making commercials for, you know, baby products, childcare products, toys, and cereal, breakfast cereal. And then after that, right, that's what happened to Elijah Wood. You could actually find a commercial with him as a very young boy taking part in a pizza commercial. Go figure. And that's how these talent spotters, recruiters operate, through the grapevine and by tracking the bloodlines of certain people multi-generationally. They will know if these children are out there, and then some pressure is exerted on the parents. The parents are told about the riches and the fame and the fortune to be had to be the parent of a rising young star. I just think of all the child stars who later had legally separated themselves from their greedy, controlling, manipulative, mind-controlling parents. Well, there's no shortage of that scenario. So just be mindful of that, folks. This happens. This has happened to people I know, where someone comes up and says, oh, you know, you have such a very smart, precocious kid. Let's send him off to acting school. And that's how they're plugged into the system. Also, be wary, especially if you live on a military base or are a military dependent, i.e. one or both of your parents are in the military, and someone rocks up, usually a person in uniform, because they psychologically profile the parents. And there's some parents that have a natural, even genetic in some cases, obeisance and acquiescence to authority figures dressed in uniforms. So they'll profile these people. And if it takes an officer in the armed forces walking up and saying, oh, you have a very precocious, young, special child, we have this special program set up just for special kids like your own. It'll require them to, you know, be taken out of the regular classroom for, you know, a few hours a day, and maybe a couple of times a week they will go to a special school, et cetera, et cetera. Well, watch out for that, because that's just another attempt to plug your child into a mind control program. That's how pervasive this is. Hollywood, the military, they're all in on this. So is it any surprise that we hear this bullfrogs chorus from all these actors, all these actresses, all these musical entertainers, and a lot of, and let's face it, folks, a lot of these musical artists these days, they're garbage, okay? I had a very good musical upbringing. Motown, R&B, rock and roll, classic hard rock. I know good music when I hear it. I'm kind of a stick in the mud in that way, where I'm kind of resistant to newer music because I like the older stuff so much better. And, you know, I was a young buck in the 80s, and I went to heaps of rock and roll concerts. That was my era, the arena rock era. And to be sure, a number of those bands have been mind-controlled or have been used in mind control. My dear friend Solaris Blue Raven talks about what that band Rush is really all about. Please plug into Solaris's research and her investigations into all this. I consider Solaris Blue Raven to be a true heroine and one of the real players in this field. That band, Rush, is certainly not alone in all this. There have been many rumors over the years. People, if you read the book, I think it's in the book by the late, great Gary Webb, the former Mercury, San Jose Mercury News investigative journalist. They finally made a movie about him, who broke the story about the CIA Contra crack cocaine drug epidemic and its intimate connection with Central America, the Contra drug war down there. If memory serves, don't quote me on this. It's been a while since I read that book. But in that book, Gary Webb's investigations, it turned out that one of the musicians of a very well-known rock and roll band out of the San Francisco Bay Area, one of the musicians, a conga or a percussion player for a very well-known artist, was involved in cocaine trafficking and had some connections with these CIA-controlled Nicaraguan drug traffickers. And then if you read, I think it's Alex Constantine wrote a book about how the rock and roll world, the musical world, was so heavily infiltrated, manipulated, disrupted, controlled by intelligence. It's all out there. So it's no wonder that now, when there's talk in the air of maybe all this mass upheaval taking place on May Day, okay, May Day, the international distress signal, May Day, when one talks about and does research about the Bavarian Illuminati, 1776, May Day, that's what that's all about. And so now there's talk, and there's persistent chatter going around that the Soros types have something special planned for May Day of this year, which is not too far away, nationwide upheavals, protests, etc., etc. And what they've been doing with the media, all the hate on Trump, the entertainment industry, the musical artists, it's inculcating in the minds of their worshipful, idolatrous fans, okay, the empty-headed, vacuous fans that line the red carpet at spectacles such as the Academy Awards, the Grammys, and they start weeping at the sight of Orlando Bloom or whatever other famous person there is, right? Those impressionable young fans who weep on sight when they see their hero, whether it's Bono or some other fraud, U2, a bunch of no-talented bums, if there ever was one, right? Just think about how a band like U2 could even get so big. How did that happen? I kid you not, I remember at the San Jose Civic Auditorium, they had a free concert before they got really big. Oh, it's questionable just how many people even showed up to that gig. Right? I know I didn't. This is all part of social engineering, and it's all leading up to something. What that something is, we don't really know, but we will find out at some point. I do think that it's important to keep in mind all this chatter about some big series of upheavals, riots and protests, what have you, around May Day, which is the International Communist Day, the International Illuminati Day, if you will. That's why it became an international distress signal. I guess either insiders came up with that as an inside joke, or people who knew about this Luciferian agenda, you know, wanted to plant it into the subconscious of people, that, hey, there's something to do with May Day, you know, the Luciferian Illuminati agenda. What's interesting also is recently, just the last few days, it's been making the media, career troublemaker, psychopath, genocidal maniac Bill Gates, lizard boy himself, has been talking about, oh, well, you know, it's possible that we'll be hit by a worldwide pandemic. Same guy that's been pushing his toxic vaccines, the same guy who apparently is considered to be a wanted criminal in India for all the damage wrought there by his wonderful vaccines, not apparently. And I have no reason to doubt this. Thousands upon thousands of children died and became paralyzed after Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation introduced vaccines into the subcontinent. Well, now that same psychopath, Lizard Boy, is going to the lamestream media and saying, oh, we're going to be hit by a pandemic. Now, we've heard this before. Remember, the public has been primed. The bird flu. Avian flu. Before that, we had the mad cow disease, which when one goes back and looks at the research conducted by investigators in the UK and Britain, that tracked back to Porton Down, the British military, British germ warfare lab. It turned out that the mad cow disease, which resulted in the wholesale slaughter of thousands of cattle, thousands of cows, beef cattle in the UK, thoroughly discombobulating the beef industry in the UK. Apparently, the pathogens that caused all that came from Porton Down, the British Germ Warfare Lab. Surprise, surprise. So when a career genocidal maniac psychopath like Bill Gates starts talking about a pandemic, well, we shouldn't go all Chicken Little and freak out, but we should all take necessary precautions. Colloidal silver, electromedicine, Rife machines, large quantities of vitamin C, etc., etc. Keep that stuff handy. Always be mindful of the nature of the multiple threat environment in which you reside. Because we're still on the march. We're still on the journey. We haven't gotten there yet. When we get there, we'll know where we've gotten to. We'll know what the next stage of the journey is. 2020, that time frame, which is not too far away, things may be radically different by the time 2020 rolls around. And 2020 may be a significant year as far as change is concerned, as far as artificially generated top-down manipulation on a societal, civilization-wide scale. Whether that has to do with the release of pathogens, whether that has to do with even larger wars and expansion of these wars. Because all these things are running in parallel, folks. They're running in parallel. These things don't work in isolation one from another. All the Hollywood types, bullfrogs chorus, hate on Trump, hate on Trump. Meanwhile, the turmoil within the nascent, brand new Trump administration. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard and read about what's been going on there. Michael Flynn, I believe he was formerly the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the in-house Pentagon multi-service intelligence agency, which does have its own black ops capability. Apparently, Michael Flynn was forced to resign. And Michael Flynn was openly talking about Hillary having a connection to Pizzagate, Hillary being a child perp, pedo, etc., etc. And they came up with this excuse, justification rather, to force Flynn to resign. Apparently, he was having some kind of secret dealings with Russia, which is a joke, okay? Because when Henry Kissinger would come back with his hours-long discussions with Dobrynin, the Soviet ambassador to the U.S., Kissinger wouldn't even allow himself to be debriefed by CIA counterintelligence lizard James Jesus Angleton. Angleton is the same guy who wrecked the CIA's Soviet Eastern Europe espionage division just by accusing everyone of being a spy and totally turning that agency upside down. I think that was deliberate, whether Angleton realized it or not. Angleton could have just been played as a patsy himself. More than one historian and author has described, quote, the lizard-like appearance of James Angleton, or another writer referred to him as looking reptilian in appearance, and all you have to do is Google image James Jesus Angleton to see what I'm talking about. He did look like a lizard. And he was a guy who wielded an awful lot of power because of his connection with the Israelis. It was through Angleton that a back alley deal was made with the Czechoslovakians to import a lot of weaponry to arm the Haganah, the army of the Israelis before Israel became a state, and then the Israeli Defense Forces became officially created. Before that was the Haganah, this underground army movement, and then it had splinter factions, not really splinter factions, but guerrilla warfare, basically terrorist groups, Irgun, Stern Gang, etc. But the larger army, if you will, was Haganah, and James Angleton played a key role in funneling Eastern Bloc weaponry to the Haganah so they can conduct their so-called War of Independence in 1948. Anyway, that's a backstory. It gives you an idea of the kind of power that Angleton had. Nevertheless, he was confronted by a much more powerful figure, Henry Kissinger, a right-hand flunky of Nelson Rockefeller. And Kissinger sat atop all these intelligence agencies, all these oversight committees. Basically, he was the minder of Gerald Ford, when later when Kissinger was Secretary of State. Anyway, when Kissinger was Secretary of State for Ford, and he'd have these long private meetings with Anatoly Dobrynin, and read about this in the thick memoirs written by Dobrynin. And then when Angleton would confront Kissinger and say, "You have to tell me what you talked about with Dobrynin," Kissinger laughed at him. "Take your polygraph test, take your interrogators, go away, boy," right? Because Kissinger was playing a deep double game. In fact, if you read that book, the key parts of it, it's a really thick book. Dobrynin actually talks about how Kissinger gave him advice on how to thwart the U.S. in the upcoming SALT talks. Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty 2, I think it was, the second one. Because by then, Kissinger was officially out of power. But later on, when Jimmy Carter took over, and he had Cyrus Vance, another Council on Foreign Relations guy, as his Secretary of State, and Vance was going to be talking to the Soviets about the upcoming SALT talks, Kissinger was actually coaching Dobrynin on how to deal with Cyrus Vance in the upcoming SALT talks. This is about Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, about limiting the effectiveness, range, payload, etc., of nuclear ballistic missiles, folks. If that's not treason, I don't know what is. You know, cycling back to Michael Flynn, they got him on this bogus charge of colluding with Putin, colluding with the Russians, which is a big joke. And I just told you about how Kissinger was giving advice to the Soviets on how to thwart the U.S. in the upcoming SALT negotiations, when the Republicans were out of the White House by then, and how Kissinger didn't even bother to brief Angleton on what he'd been talking to about the Soviets. So there's turmoil already in the Trump administration. Trump's chief of staff, a very powerful position, folks. Think of Dickhead Cheney, was chief of staff in the White House. Priebus, I think is his name. He's another anti-Trump guy. He's another guy who believes in war with everybody, war with Russia, etc., etc. Then you have the vice president, Michael Pence. And what's interesting is Michael Flynn, the guy who was forced to resign as a national security advisor, Michael Flynn had information about how the brother of Michael Pence was a pedophile. And apparently, and it's about time, there are elements within the intelligence community, the military, that are trying to do a clean sweep and get rid of all these pedos. You know, better late than never, right? But anyway, that was probably the real reason why Michael Flynn was forced to resign. Now, there have been good guys in the DIA, folks, okay? I think of Major General Eugene Tai, who was once head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he was very public. He said, "Yes, we've known about the missing in action MIAs in Southeast Asia for a long time. They're there. There's no question about it. But, you know, our hands are tied. We're not allowed to do anything about it." Think of the mission, Bogue Wrights, a legend in Green Beret Mike Force operations, Mobile Strike Force operations in Vietnam. He was also in Project Delta, if memory serves, doing over-the-border missions in Cambodia and elsewhere. Bogue Wrights was a living legend in Special Forces, tapped to lead a team tapped by what was then an unknown secretive agency within the Pentagon called the ISA. Greitz led a team into Laos to find evidence of the MIAs, during which he spoke to Khun Sa, the Burmese opium warlord, drug lord. During this meeting with Khun Sa, Khun Sa said, "Look, my people and I, we want to grow other cash crops, but your people won't let us." And he mentioned the names of people like Theodore Shackley, the infamous CIA station chief in Laos and in Saigon. Later, he was CIA section leader for the Western Hemisphere, heavily involved in black ops, drug trafficking, etc., etc. It was people like Theodore Shackley and that whole mob that was fired by Admiral Stansfield Turner when Stansfield Turner took over as CIA chief for Jimmy Carter. And that's why this is almost a continuation, this bit, with what I was talking about last week. The group, the coterie that formed and created the whole October Surprise group was outside of normal CIA channels, because most of those scumbags had been fired by Admiral Stansfield Turner. And so they formed their own shadow network. These shadow networks already existed, but they formed one that helped particularly George Bush and the Republicans to ensure their October Surprise worked. Anyway, so the point of the matter was, it was the Pentagon that sent in Bogreitz in the first place, and then the rug was pulled. Bogreitz was arrested and by the Thai National Police, and then the media tried to make Bogreitz make him out to be this religious fanatic who did all this on his own. Never mind the top secret satellite SATCOM technology he was provided with by the intelligence support activity. They gave him that SATCOM capability. They later claimed, they being the establishment elements of the Pentagon, claimed that somehow Bryce came up with this technology on his own, was freelancing, he was completely doing this on his own, and it was not being sponsored by the U.S. government. The point of relevance is that there are elements within Defense Intelligence Agency that wanted to find the MIAs, but they knew that it was always tied up with a whole notion of drug trafficking. So keep that in mind. The two kind of go hand in hand, not only intelligence and drug trafficking, but the search for MIAs always ran afoul of CIA-sponsored drug networks in Southeast Asia. In fact, this is what that independent Ross Perot was claiming, was complaining to George Bush about. Every time we try to find out what's going on with the MIAs in Southeast Asia, we keep finding out about CIA-sponsored drug trafficking networks. So there are good people within the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA. There are good people within the Army, Army Intelligence, Army Special Forces. There are good people within Naval Intelligence. They do exist. There are good people within the Bureau, and there are even good people in the CIA. And maybe now they're finally making a move. Who knows? One can only hope. One can only hope, because these next few years, folks, are going to be critical. Let's see what happens. I don't like this notion of having all these war lovers like General James Mattis. Looks like a bloody lizard, if you ask me. And boy, how the Christian fundamentalists, Christian Zionists, are just happy and just doing a hallelujah breakdown about General James Mattis being SecDef. I'm not too sure about that. But one can always hope that the people within the administration and outside of the administration can manipulate things just enough to keep the whole world on an even keel and finally make it so that the dark forces manifesting through all these hybrid humans here on the surface in influential positions of power, that they're finally, those types are finally undermined and finally given the boot, kicked to the curb. Adios. They've had a long run on the winning side. It's time for the good guys in the system, the good girls in the system, to stand up and do something about it. And maybe what we're seeing with the turmoil in the administration, which is only, remember, a few weeks old, folks, maybe that's a manifestation of that. Some of you have seen Robert Steele on the Alex Jones show. That was an interesting interview. And Robert Steele has been very vocal in the past about pedophilia and Satanism in the high ranks of the elite intelligence community, financial elite, et cetera, et cetera. And there's many more people like Robert Steele. So anyhow, we've reached the end of this segment of the commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Wherever you may be, good people, daytime or nighttime, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next week.